this is Marsha Listens. It's the second episode. And the second episode is titled Storytelling. So I just want to talk to you today about the importance of telling your story. We are constantly in motion in our day-to-day lives, and we are communicating our story non-verbally a lot of times to one another. You may think that your ordinary life story may not deserve like a Grammy, a movie to speak about your story, but I'm here to tell you that your story is pretty fucking dope, right? Like, you have so much to offer the world and to tell the world who you are, right? Verbally and not just non-verbally through your actions and why you engage and interact with people. But a lot of us today don't believe it's safe enough to tell our stories, right? We're so scared that our words escape our maximum security of our brains and our hearts. And like having the possibility to run free out of our mouths, telling the world parts of a story that we may be fearful or shameful for others to know. So I just want you to think about like why it's so hard for us and you to tell your story and the parts of those stories that you hold so dear to your heart. It's truly your GPS of why you interact or shy away from your greatness. So like this week, I went to go get my hair done. I enjoy getting my hair done for three particular reasons. It's my time to get taken care of, right? I get this nice massage on my scalp and I get to have my own therapy session in my beautician's chair two times out of the month. Whatever I want to say, whatever I want to talk about, I can. And guess what? She's stuck listening to me for 45 minutes to an hour. But she always welcomes it. So this particular week was a little bit opening and revealing to my stylist. So after I got up from this shampoo table, I walked over and my stylist was ready for me. She had the chair turned so I didn't have to maneuver my body anyway, but just plop down on this chair and just be ready. She took the black towel off my head and she said, "So girl, what's up? What's going on? What's going on?" And I was like, girl, I saw my brother randomly the other week and I haven't seen him in almost 7 years. She was like, huh? She was like floored. And I was like, yeah. I said, I really don't think my brother has liked me since I came on this earth. And she was like, okay, Marsha, I see you got dysfunction. And she was like, wow, we all have dysfunction. And I was like, absolutely. Dysfunction is normal and normal doesn't exist in my world is what I said to her. Because of what I do for a living as being a mental health therapist, I think normal is non-existent. Right? Because I think dysfunction is normal, right? Because of the way that I look at something and the way you look at something, what I might deem as right, you might deem as wrong. So the definition that I live by is dysfunction is normal. Normal doesn't exist. So when I told my stylist about me seeing my brother, I could feel like her eyes bulging out of her head, like, huh? Not Marsha, right? And as I continue to tell the story of like the hurt that I felt over my lifetime, not understanding what I've done to make him go like missing in action, right? I was feeling her become comfortable, like, oh, Marsha has stuff in her life as well. I could feel her being comfortable and us getting on the same like playing field. But also I could feel her connect to me and feel the rawness of these emotions of the sighting of my brother and the engagement that I had with my brother a couple weeks ago. She was the only person that I've engaged with in terms of me telling them that I saw my brother that really sat with me with those emotions, right? Like didn't say, hey, so what you guys gonna do? Are you gonna rebuild, or are you guys gonna build this relationship? Have you talked to him? She just sat with me in those emotions. Did I expect her to do that? No, actually. So whenever I tell people about my brother, because I'm always supposed to be the bigger person, everybody kind of comes with me like, so what are you gonna do? What's gonna happen? This, this, and a third. And I've always, with this particular event, it's like, my phone line is always open for him. I've called him in the past and he won't return my call. But for the first time, she just stayed in that moment with me and supported me, right? And supported whatever emotions that I was going, that I was having, she just supported me, right? And I could feel the connection that she had with me in that moment of my raw emotions. And even as I was telling the story, I could feel her connection, but also the emotions that were kind of left over from those, that event that I had with him and seeing him, that lingered in my body, she was right there. And it was freaking awesome. And it was powerful, because did I expect her to connect with me on that level? No. My loved ones, my friends haven't connected with me, but she did. And so it was pretty awesome, to the point now when I go and get my hair done, if she needs to tell a story, she and I are connected in a different way, right? So our life stories are on full display every day. Our whole life story is in full display. But the only thing that is keeping us from not being able to connect with people at times is that we don't speak our story a lot of times to people. We look at them. We may engage and interact and dance with them differently as we're driving down the road, as we're getting on the metro, as we're in the line checking out for groceries. They don't know your story. I'm not saying turn around and be like, hey, you know, when I was 5, you know, I fell down the steps and I busted my head. No, unless there's a situation that might call for that. But what I'm telling you is giving yourself the opportunity to always be on stage and always realize that you have the mic. And I might not know what you're going through, but if you tell me a little bit about your story and different parts of your story, then I may be able to engage with you differently as your audience and as a participant within the environment that you're in, to be able to make things a little bit better, for us to connect and get the job done. Whatever the job may be, it may be simply being an organized set of people to get to the destination of the metro stop, or organized set of people to get to our destinations on the road safely, right? So if somebody cuts you off, and because your whole life you've always been second and you want to always be first, or people always slight you, to be honest with you, that person who cut you off don't know a damn thing about what the fuck happened to you in your life, but you're going to engage and interact with them the way, like they do know, right? And so sometimes you got to take a step back and realize, like, man, people don't know my motherfucking story. If I don't tell them, they won't know. You can't make these assumptions. Just like your parents might not know everything you've gone through, and you can't make that assumption. And just like you don't know everything that your parents went through, or your siblings, or whatever, you can't make these assumptions. But the one thing you can do that's empowering is fucking speak your motherfucking story out loud, right? So I just want you to think about, like, if you share your story verbally with others, they can understand you a little bit better, learn from your hardships, and connect with you. But if you don't tell your story, no one is able to connect and get to understand why you dance and move the way you do. Telling your story to others allow you to untangle, right, the internal emotional web that is woven inside your body, but dictates how you move in the internal world. So if you tell your story, all your pain, your anger, your happiness, your sadness, your joyfulness, that is like, is real. I don't know if you know, like a rubber band ball, when you get to tell your story, you actually start taking the rubber bands all together away. Not all together. They start coming off and you don't have a ball anymore. And so then you get to really understand, well, what's making you angry? What's making you sad? What's making you happy? But you got to share your story, and it allows you to move more gracefully through your world. So when we think about stories, but I want you to think about the magnitude of stories. Let's think about like stories that we've heard from people who are older than us, the older generation, and think about how powerful those words and stories are. Those stories have stood the test of time. Even when the story has created pain for that person that may be a part of the story, one of the characters, it was strong enough to move through time and space to reach you, to reach me. So then we can connect to prior generations and possibly learn what's being passed down to you and genetically and in nature, right? So a story that got passed down to me from generations, from my mom in particular, was she would tell my brother and I, when we were growing up, hey, alcoholism is a disease in our family, right? She didn't shy away from it. She didn't sit here and try to like, hey, you can't drink. She gave us a story. She gave us this story that impacted her. And she said, hey, it skips generations and it's in your generation. I said, okay. And I'm young, and my parents didn't have alcohol in my household growing up. They didn't drink, not in front of us. I don't think they really would have drinks outside, but I don't know. So I decided not to drink because of the magnitude of the story my mom told. And the story that my mom told me was, alcoholism is a disease in our family. My grandfather, who would drink alcohol and we would have functional alcoholics, decided to tell my grandmother before he went on this trip that, hey, when I come back, I'm gonna stop drinking alcohol. But ironically enough, my grandfather never made it back. He was killed by a drunk driver. And my grandmother was left with 3 children under the age of 7. And I could see every time my mom reiterated the importance of understanding where alcohol fell in my gene pool and where it fell in my age and my generation. I saw the magnitude of the story that carried like aftershocks physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially with my grandmother, my aunts, my uncles, my mother. And that major earthquake of my grandfather being killed in the accident, it collapsed my family's world before I was born. And I remember I could see and I could feel when it was his birthday, when it was the death anniversary, those aftershocks could be felt, seen, and heard pulsating through my family members as I grew up. And I knew that I couldn't possibly be a part of that type of pain, so I stayed away from participating in drinking alcoholic beverages for the first 34 years of my life. This particular story carries so much painful cargo, but for me, I was able to see the hidden gems nestled in between the lines of my mother's story. And I have been able to understand and live the pain of my mom and of my grandmother losing somebody they loved. I understand, and I not understand, but I've been able to interact and engage with my mother's pain of being a person who lost their parent at 5 years old. So her story has allowed me to be able to assist clients that I see in my practice that may have lost their parents early in life and help them sift through those emotions that may never go away. And it's okay. So I tell you this is that the story of my grandfather being killed had an impact on my mother, but her telling me her story I was able to learn from it and make a different decision based off of that story. But I was able to touch other people based off that story. So I challenge you to be more intentional in verbally telling your story. Remember, we're not mind readers, but your story is important. You're living your story every day, which is a movie, which is a book, which is an article, and you deserve to be free from shame, guilt, or any uncomfortable feelings regarding parts of your story or generations before you. Because guess what? That makes you who you are, who you engage and interact with, how you talk to somebody. But it also allows the universe to know that, hey, this happened to me and I'm okay with it because I'm still standing. Remember, telling your story is powerful. Don't sit here and mute your voice. You gotta release parts of your story into the world and stop allowing it to hold you hostage. And connect with others. Telling your story allows you to connect with others. Me telling my story to my stylist allowed me to connect with her and to open up, but also for me to feel that I didn't have to do shit with my brother because I'm not the one who has an issue with me, right? Me telling my story allowed me to connect with her in a way that, oh shit, I can tell Marsha something. So I want you to remember to tell your story because it's powerful, you're releasing and detoxing, and you're connecting with others. And when you connect with others, then you are telling the universe, I'm here and I'm powerful. So continue to be awesome. But my challenge for you is to intentionally tell parts of your story so you can be connected, you can release, and you can be powerful beyond measure. Marsha Listen signing off.